Okay. Live your life within the moment, moment. And don't go wait until the morning, morning. Hello.
Hello, good afternoon, Aaron. How are you?
I'm all right. Good afternoon, everybody, or good morning if you're over in the States. Hope everyone's well. We're multinational, Jack. Come on.
Yeah, good morning, good afternoon, and good night. That's the normal phrase. Thanks for joining everyone, the ones that are listening in or the ones that are watching this pre-recorded episode. This is the Generation Gap, obviously, with Jack and Aaron. Today, we're going to be concentrating on expectations and have they changed between generations, specifically focusing on the workplace environment. So we'll be covering a couple of topics, which hopefully will be up for debate on our live chat as well. So if you've got any questions at any time throughout the talk, just dial that in and we'll do our best to answer them when they come in. So maybe I'll kind of kick us off with our first topic, Aaron, in particular. I think going back to the generation gap, we've obviously had some great conversations over the last couple of weeks with some really cool people. And I think the next topic, the one that's quite close to us, is the expectation within the workplace, right? Because we both work for the same company, and looking at how my generation in particular value work and how they kind of almost value success compared to your generation. I didn't know whether you wanted to start.
I'd love to.
Quick wins, I think, would be a great place to start.
Yeah, I'd love to. And I think that one of the things that I also want to address as well is what generation do we all fit into? Because I only learned that I'm actually Generation X, which is baby bust, which fits between, without giving too much away of my date of birth, between 1965 and 1979. And you, sir, I believe that you're probably Generation Z.
Yes, apparently I am. I thought Generation Z was like 8 to 10 years old people, but no, I'm going to break the news. I am 25 and I do fit in the Gen Z or Gen Z, as they say, category.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things we obviously started talking off air about expectations. And one of the things that I always come across when I'm talking to CEOs, COOs, etc., or people that are just the same age as me, I was going to say old as me, but that there are people older than myself, that there seems to be so much more demand on expectations of the newer wave of people coming into the workforce. Give me your take on that, Jack, because you're a young whippersnapper compared to me. Do you think that you've got different expectations of what a business should give you to what I had when I was your age?
Yeah, definitely. I think personally, when I joined GCS, I think external expectations, again, going back to what my age group look at, we want success quickly. It's because we see that. And young founders, you know, millionaires are becoming younger. Younger leaders within business makes me believe that I can achieve that quicker. So however I'm going to get there is obviously a different question altogether. But definitely quick wins is what my generation wants. And that those factors normally are driven kind of externally from their environment. Again, like when we first had our first episode around the environment that we're in. And I think out my generation, the Gen Z generation, because by one click of the button, we can have things at our doorstep. If it's an Amazon delivery or Deliveroo, that also transfers into other parts of our lives. And I think definitely in work, like I speak to some of my friends, and if they've not had a pay rise or a promotion within a year, they're questioning their abilities within the role.
But like, they're almost, but with that also comes that element of, I totally get that people want quick wins. That's probably even something that even I wanted during my career. We've always wanted to get that cheat sheet to some degree. And that comes from listening, taking on other tips and hints, reading material, etc. But there seems to be now, and maybe it's just because of my age that I see this, is that there almost be that I want this, but I'm not prepared to work for it.
Yeah, and I think going back to the hacks, right, and like the cheat sheets, and you go on Instagram and there might be like sign up to this course on how to become rich, people will do it because they're always looking for the shortest way to do things. And they kind of take the analogy of kind of work smart, not hard, to a whole new level. And
yeah,
I think there's got to be the balance between, of course, we work smart. Well, we try to. I try to. Maybe sometimes I'm still learning that. But the one thing I'll, my ground and foundation of my work will be is working hard. But the Gen Z generation, because everything's online and it's technology based now, working hard is maybe in a different context to maybe you when you were 25.
Yeah. I mean, when I was your age, there was very much about the management or the company was in control. And I think that there feels now that there's almost like a switch that, and I don't want to generalize because that's just too rude, because not everybody, I would say that you probably break the mold. And that's because of your work ethics. You're an ex-professional footballer. So that means you've had to train hard. That means you can't cheat with that. You can't cheat with fitness. We explored that last week. Okay. But there is almost that element where, you know, I could not go to my boss 25 years ago and say, I want a pay rise, otherwise I'm leaving. And yet that seems to be more and more common, which is adding to like even the wider elements of inflation, because that drives up the cost of salaries. It drives up the cost of businesses. If you're increasing your cost as a business, it then drives up the cost of the products or the services.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think because there's a, because there's like so much news and things in our face on LinkedIn, like we'll, I, for example, you know, we do work in recruitment, we see it every day. I might speak to a young guy who's maybe, you know, between the 25 and 30 age, maybe been in the industry a couple of years, and they I think people already know now, if you jump ship, you're going to get a pay rise, but it's not sustainable in the long run, because you'll always be in that cycle. And I think people are, a lot of people my age obviously are chasing the money rather than the progression and secure pathway within a company that, yeah, it might take you 6 months or to a year longer to get promoted, but they trust you deeply within. You've not jumped ship every 2 years. And I think that's where my generation think they've hacked it, is, you know, oh, I'll jump every 2 years, you know, to get that 10, 15% pay rise, because we know companies' budgets are, they've got a bigger budget to hire than retain staff and give them internal pay rises. So I think that's where, especially on the salary negotiation side, because there's so much out there for young people to reference to now, or, you know, using another, maybe another interview process to
yeah,
get
or Glassdoor.
Yeah. And different things like that. It's all in reach now to them that they're thinking, you know what? I back myself. You know, they might not have even proved it on paper or in the day job, but companies now, especially in the tech world, we're seeing it because there's a shortage of talent, power's in their hands when it comes to negotiations. Maybe in different industries, it's different. You know, if we were thinking about, you know, if it was a labor job or, you know, in, I don't know, performing arts world, I'm just making a random reference now, but it may be different. But I think
private and public sector, there's a huge difference between private and public sector, because I don't think necessarily that type of behavior or that mentality probably exists in something like the healthcare world. However, in that world, they do different things, such as they get 6 months free of charge sick leave. So they use that as a way to get a difference out of their life, because they think they're entitled to it. Getting back to that whole entitled element and expectations.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think maybe going back to your point about when you were 25, you would have to earn your stripes to really demand and justify being given a pay rise. Or, and again, of course, companies have structures, the targets you've got to hit for pay rises. But as soon as another company comes sniffing, an employer will be like, well, you know, I've got two options now. I can leave or I can use this for leverage. We know what it's like. You know, we've seen counter offers daily, right? Especially in our industry. So
absolutely,
that's where my generation now becoming a lot more, I think, yeah, it might be blind in some ways, but I also think it's quite savvy, right? Like they're using their resources to their best potential. And, you know, again, we've got bills to pay. The economy is changing. course people are going to chase the higher salary, in reason, of course, related to their skills and experience. But I definitely think it's in the candidate's hands more, in a demanding tech world, right? We know that that's the world. So, and I think that's where I was going to come on to next about, you know, the turnover of staff within companies, within generations. I don't know the stat. Maybe we'll have to look it up and refer back to it in our next talk, Erin. But I'm probably guessing that the younger generation compared to, you know, let's say 30 and above or 35 and above are probably going to be more stable in their thinking and choices around where they want to have a workplace and if they want to stay in that job.
On that point, actually, is that, and this isn't an exact science, by the way. This is just the AK world of a thought process, which is quite scary in itself. But I've always believed that at different parts of our lives, we've got different motivators. So anybody between the age of 18 to 35 in the workplace, they've got to chase the money because life is expensive. You know, you want to be able to drive a car, you want to be able to travel to get to work, you've got to be able to afford to go to work. Then when you're in work, you then got to afford to be able to have everything else. You mentioned something earlier about the fact that there's so much more accessibility around information. Social media puts on other demands. I must have this, I must have that. And so that sort of like generation between the 18 and 35s, money is hugely important. Between the age of then 28 and probably 45, 50, life's calmed down a little bit. The motivation's changed a little bit because typically by then, you most probably got your mortgage, you probably got your kids, but the kids are still expensive. But the motivation is still about giving the next generation the leg up and the support and the help. But you then become a little bit more fixated about the challenge of the career on what your tasks are daily rather than about the paycheck, because by this point, the paycheck should be looking after itself. Yeah. And then when you get up into the higher bracket of between sort of like maybe 45 and 60, 65, it's purely about the motivation of what the challenge is. It's about what am I going to do daily that's going to give me that extra string to my bow. Money absolutely just takes care of itself. The older you get and the more experience you get. But the trouble is we have got, you know, a huge wad of generation in that 20 to 30 bracket that is chasing the salaries. And I get it. Life is expensive.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think it comes back to the expectations of, you know, everyone's different, right? So your expectations of work daily will be different to mine. I don't think they'll be that dissimilar. But for the average, maybe Gen Z person, it would. You go back to it, you look at the salary being at our age number one thing, because we're trying to set our life up, right? We're trying to invest in the right places. We're trying to, you know, build our pension pot. We might want to buy a house. All these different things are only accessible with a really competitive salary. Hence why a lot of people do be attracted to the London lifestyle and wage that you can earn down here. And I've got a few friends that work kind of within the big fours, you know, the consultancies that are working, you know, seriously long hours for good money, granted. However, it's what you value, right? Because I think your generation have been and done what my generation have done. And everyone that I speak to in your generation will be like, oh, well, you'll get past that stage and it will be more about, you know, the daily tasks of, like you've said, fulfilling, you know, waking up every day and going, I'm ready to work again. You know, I'm going to enjoy my day. Even if you're in a sales job, you're not stressing if you've not made a sale today. It's more the other parts of the environment that are really important. It might be the social, it might be the actual purposeful practice that you're doing within your business. So I definitely think there's a huge gap in what we expect in the workplace and the outcomes of that as well.
And I think the thing to probably take away from this as well is that there's nothing wrong with having ambition, having dreams, having that want to accelerate and grow, but there's ways of going about it. And it seems that there's almost that, I should have it because I'm demanding it and I'm more important than what your business is. There does seem to be a little bit of that feel at the moment in the wider world. I had a client I was talking to the other day and, there's always going to be somebody in your business that is going to be the gossip monger, the person that tries to rally everybody else around them. And this person did this to one of my clients and actually got 2 to 3 other people to go basically lie to the CEO that they'd been offered greater salaries in their competitors to go and work there. And luckily, he actually called their bluff because he actually knew who the competitor was. He actually phoned them and said, have you been, because there's always like a gentleman's agreement, you're not to poach from me and I won't poach from you. And so he phoned them and it was complete lies. You know, a group of people based the fact and almost put their careers at risk because of someone else driving that expectation that they should be worth more money and lying about it.
Yeah, and unfortunately, I'm sure there's a lot of CEOs and businesses that fall victim to that, who can't get to the bottom of it and are forced to, you know, almost go along with the bluff and offer the pay rise because they know that if you're a valuable member of the business, companies will have to keep you in some way. So I guess it's a poker game, right? To a certain extent, that's recruitment in general. That's finding a new role. You are playing a game. We all are in some way. So I definitely think it's. But do you think your generation would go about it in a different way to mine?
Yeah, I certainly. I mean, I can only speak about myself. Okay, I can't speak for the masses out there. But I do think that there is a taint of that in the sense that there's ethical ways of doing it. I've never lied to get a pay rise. I've never lied or facilitated or got someone else to back me behind my boss's back, etc. I've done it through my own merits and proved it with fact rather than just thinking, well, I'm entitled. That's my ethos as a human being rather than maybe as my generation. Betty's actually asked as well, do we think that these changing expectations is also due to opportunities themselves changing quite a bit over time and across the industry such as tech? I don't know. I think a lot of the jobs that we're recruiting for now, I mean, certainly in your lifetime, Jack, these jobs never existed 10, 15 years ago. There's a massive shift on what roles actually do exist today in the world.
Yeah, and I think it's also, we know that a lot of clients will come to us and ask for salary expectations or a salary almost chart of the, you know, the newest roles. If it's developer roles, obviously for me, I'm in cybersecurity. A lot of the roles are still new to the whole industry. So I think actually, like, quoting a position in a salary bracket is quite hard. And that's why salary ranges you'll see on LinkedIn and people complain about the bracket being so high. It's because, again, it relates to experience and skill set, right? And it's hard for sometimes for a company to put their finger on it to stay in line with what the rest of the business is in, because they don't want to create this kind of organizational kind of upset because new people are coming in on 20% more. There's this like level playing field that needs to be kind of achieved. So I definitely think opportunities themselves changing over time relates to the salary expectations and how my generation are viewing this new world. And that's why I think, because there's more opportunities than ever, it's going back to what I said last week, right? And I've just had a meeting with the CISO and he said the same. More money, more problems, more opportunities, you know, more problems to have. Good problems or bad problems, but I think the more I'm on LinkedIn, the more I'm seeing these jobs everywhere, the more people are kind of convincing themselves that they should be earning that amount of money.
Yeah. And you mentioned something earlier about, you know, things being at our fingerprints, etc. So I think social media has got a huge, huge amount to answer for this, because that does, you know, using a famous president's quote of the fact of false news, you know, there's just so much false information out there. And with that almost comes the sense of setting false confidence in people because they think that they're talking about something bigger, wider, and that's already out there as well.
Yeah. Expectations obviously need to line up with reality, right? And what's achievable. And I think walking into a new business, going back to what I said, if you don't get a pay rise in the first year, are you a failure? Absolutely not. You know, like, have you got a promotion in the first year? absolutely not. If you were to then go and look at your peers and look at their promotion kind of average, it may be over 2 to 3 years, right? It's everything in kind of relation to your opportunity. So I definitely think expectations in my generation, again, are way too high for what's actually achievable with the skill sets that these people have. Not in a horrible way. I just think there's got to be a level of kind of humility when you approach a negotiation to get a job or a salary expectation. People want it now. And again, it's the environment, what they're looking at, social media.
Absolutely.
It's that as well.
Yeah. And I think as well that, you know, obviously I can speak as a business leader. I run P&Ls. I have done for many years, etc. When your company is offering you a pay rise, or if you go demanding for a pay rise, that money has to come from somewhere. What you're doing at that moment in time as well, and I just want to put this out there because, you know, I think it's something that people don't always think about repercussions or what could be the outfall of this, is that money's got to come from somewhere. It's not free money. Okay. And with that means that you're also, if you've already said, I'm going to resign if you do not give me such and such, again, there's ways about going about doing things, is that what you're doing is you're actually putting your own neck out on the block at that point, because that money's got to come from somewhere. And if you do not then live up to the expectations that come with that pay increase, then guess who's going to be out the door first?
Yeah, totally.
Everything has consequences. There's always reward and consequences. And I think that this is maybe something that's not necessarily being looked at or necessarily being used in the new generations coming through, is that there are consequences sometimes to, well, there's consequences to everything, good and bad. But the demand on wanting something here and now means that something else has to happen somewhere else.
Yeah. Everyone that is listening now, that is in the younger generation who may be looking for a new role or is in a new role and is thinking about a pay rise or looking elsewhere over their shoulder, go back to the return on investment you're bringing to that company. You know, can you justify, if you want 50K, but are you going to make the company more than 50K in the year? That's when you'll justify the pay rise, right? It all comes back to the numbers of the value you're bringing to that organization. And I think my generation have not quite maybe grasped that, equation. Yeah, I know it's...
Because of what you said earlier, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's because of what you said earlier, is that everything has to be on demand. And that comes with salaries. It comes with being able to do your banking 24/7. It comes from being able to order from Amazon. And I can get it, you know, by 10 o'clock in the evening. You know, I remember having to take a whole day off when I was trying to reorganize my car insurance, because you had to phone people. Yeah. And it used to take a whole day to do so because you had to wait for them manually to put things in. So demands have massively changed in the sense of what we expect to happen here and now. And again, that comes back down to having repercussions or, you know, and consequences.
Final question for you, Erin. From your generation's viewpoint, what excites you the most about my generation in, you know, the future?
Great question. Yeah, great question. The raw energy. I absolutely love the ballsiness that your generation seemed to have, because I never had that. And I don't think that many people did have that. And I think that we're changing now from everybody fits into a DISC analysis, dominance, influence, steadiness, compliance. And typically great salespeople in my generation, when I was your age, were dominant characters. That's changed. It's now influential because of what people like you and people slightly older than yourself and younger than you are bringing to the table. So I think that the mentality of how we do things is massively shifting, and there are different ways of doing it. But your generation still haven't necessarily clicked on to the fact that there's consequences if, you know, with everything that we do. Does that answer your question?
Absolutely. And the industry proves it, right? Founders are getting younger, CEOs are getting younger, leaders are getting younger, which is not a bad thing. I think just to wrap it up, I think there's, again, always a bit of both, a balance of an older head looking at that's already done that situation. That's why businesses have these mentors in place to guide our generation so they don't make the mistakes that maybe your generation did when you were 25, right? I think it's been a great chat. It's been really nice to open up, especially about the the workplace environment. I think there's a lot of expectations that we've spoke about. And if anyone's got any, you know, further questions, please reach out to me and Aaron. We can follow up on a private message. But hopefully you've all enjoyed today, and we'll leave it there.
Great chat. Cheers, Jack. Next week.